KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201 DA 88.1 FM King Cove.
The first time Arsen Fahim saw a piano is seared into his memory. He was a young boy, an Afghan refugee in Pakistan, when he saw the film The Pianist.
I saw this movie and I was like, wow, how can whatever this thing is save a person's life? How can it be so powerful?
That moment sparked Arsen's deep love of music, which he pursued after returning to his home country. And then later, he received a scholarship and left for Boston, just days before the Taliban took over Afghanistan. And they banned music entirely.
Music is taken for granted so much that when you read the headline, Taliban bans music or whatever, don't actually process it. I feel like people hear about it or read about it, but they don't realize what that means.
This hour, Arsen Fahim shares his story and talks about how he's used music to fight for change, support Afghan musicians, and spread awareness. That's coming up on our final Sense of Place Boston today. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe. We'll get to that in just a moment. In the meantime, here's some music from Bruce Springsteen, his cover of The Commodores' Night Shift.
We all remember you. your song is coming through. Gonna be a long night, it's gonna be alright. On the night shift,
on the night shift,
you found another home. I know you're not alone. On the night shift, you found another home. I know you're not alone. On the night shift,
this is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Applying to study music at one of Boston's prestigious conservatories or universities would be intimidating enough even for an American kid who's been playing their entire life. But for 24-year-old Afghan composer Arsen Fahim, starting a music career in the United States at the Lonji School of Music of Bard College was truly against the odds. But that's what he did, and that's where we met up with Arsen for our Sense of Place Boston series. Arsen Fahim's journey with music began when he was a child.
The first time I ever actually saw the piano was in a movie, The Pianist. It's this movie about World War II where, long story short, the piano saves a person's life, and it's a true story. And I saw this movie and I was like, wow, how can whatever this thing is save a person's life? How can it be so powerful? Yeah, my family was actually, they had moved to Pakistan before I was even born during the civil war in Afghanistan in the 90s. And this was a very common thing for a lot of Afghans to have to flee to one of the neighboring countries for, you know, in pursuit of survival.
Arsen was only 7 or 8 years old when he watched The Pianist, and it would be a while before he would even see a piano in real life.
I was living in Pakistan as a refugee. Pianos were very rare, so I never got to see it for many, many more years until in 2012 when I moved to Afghanistan and there was an organization that offered completely free piano lessons. I signed up, I went there, and I saw a piano for the first time in my life. And it was love at first sight, and I've been playing the piano ever since. It's been now 12 years, or exactly half my life, which feels exciting and a little scary, but most exciting.
Around the time Arsen's family moved back to Afghanistan, there was a sense that things were improving, that there would be a better future there.
A lot of people in my generation were actually born in Pakistan or Iran, but in 2012 is when things were starting to look a little bit more hopeful in Afghanistan, and the Pakistani government was becoming more strict about refugees living there. So it felt, to my family, it felt like a good time to return back to Afghanistan so that me and my sister can grow up around our own culture.
Arsen enrolled in the Afghanistan National Institute of Music with his parents' support.
I think when I started, they probably felt like it was just a stage. I'm going to be interested in it for a while and then give up on it. I wanted to be an astronaut for a while. I wanted to be an actor for a while. Probably a bunch of different things, and then after a week or two I'd forget about it. They probably thought it's that, but eventually they were surprised that I was doing it. But luckily they're the kind of family who's very supportive of music and listen to music, enjoy music. That said though, they did always tell me about just the realities of what it can be like to be a musician anywhere in the world, but especially in Afghanistan, the risk and adversity that it comes with.
Even though the Taliban wasn't in control at that point, Arsen and his classmates were still targeted.
I was studying at the Afghanistan National Institute of Music. This was the only music school back then, but it was this place where everybody had this passion for music. We had teachers from different parts of the world coming to teach us. At the same time, we knew that there were extremists still, maybe not in power, maybe not the government itself, even though definitely within the government there were people who were against the music school, but just terrorists around controlling a lot big parts of the country that are against us, so much so that in 2014 they bombed one of our concerts. So we made music knowing that it's dangerous and that there are people who think what we're doing is wrong, it's a sin.
A sin. But it was also just unusual, and that presented its own set of challenges.
Afghanistan doesn't have a long history of Western classical music training. It's something that's very rare. Most people have never had any exposure to classical music. A lot of people, when I, like even extended family, when I would tell them I play the piano, they'd be like, what is that? They had never heard of it. And that also means like finding teachers for it was a really big challenge because there weren't Afghans that were qualified to teach. So the school often had to find faculty from oftentimes the US, but also sometimes other countries who would come and teach, but they'd only come for a year. It would be very challenging just because Afghanistan is a very poor country and just figuring out the finances, the logistics, they'd basically be risking their lives to come and teach there. So I think that was the biggest challenge for the school, to find teachers. Sometimes there would be years when we wouldn't have a teacher for a certain instrument.
Arsen had first been drawn to the piano because of the movie The Pianist and the idea that the instrument could change someone's life. And eventually, he realized that someone could be him and his fellow Afghans.
It took me a while to kind of connect music with the things that I care about. I think one of the biggest ways that that happened was a piece called Farhunda that I wrote. And Farhunda was a woman who was brutally killed by an angry mob in Kabul. She was thrown off a building and stoned to death and eventually set on fire in front of like hundreds of people, including the police, in the middle of Kabul, like walking distance from the presidential palace. And I remember the first time I heard about it, I didn't believe it until I got home later that evening and saw videos of her just covered in blood and begging for her life, all because she was falsely accused of burning the crown, which was later proof that she hadn't even done that. And to me, that was just such a shocking experience, and an experience that made me so angry that somehow I naturally just turned to the piano and started like writing this piece, and eventually like kind of wrote this piece, dedicated it to Farhunda, and on the anniversary of her death, actually played it at the spot where she was murdered. And I think that's when I realized, like, you know, things that I feel like they're wrong, I can say something about that through my music. And I've been trying to do that ever since.
Farhunda was one of Arsen's first piano compositions. He continued to compose songs that put a spotlight on injustice in his country, which eventually led him here to Boston and to Longi.
I only applied to Longi because a couple of years earlier I had performed in India at this very fancy boarding school. And at the end of the performance, the president of the school came up on stage and said, like in front of the whole audience, wherever you choose to study in the future, I'll pay for it. And that was the first time I was like, wow, I might be able to, you know, study music at a conservatory somewhere outside of Afghanistan. Before that, that, you know, was such an unlikely thing that you don't really think about it. So I started doing my research, looking into schools, applying to schools, and I got into Longi, and I had gotten a pretty good scholarship, but not a full scholarship. I had mentioned I have a sponsor. Unfortunately, though, my sponsor passed away before I could even actually tell him that I had gotten into Longi.
That could have been the end of Arsen's dream.
So I like emailed Longi and I was like, thank you so much for accepting me, but unfortunately, circumstances have changed. I won't be able to come, basically saying like denying the offer that they had given me. And they responded with a full scholarship. They're like, in that case, we're gonna give you a full scholarship. And without this scholarship, it just wouldn't have been an option. An average Afghan in a year makes about $2,000. That's kind of what my family makes. So even to pay for like 1 year of tuition is what probably more than what an Afghan makes in their entire life.
Arsen came to Boston on August 2nd of 2021. The Taliban took over Afghanistan less than 2 weeks later. And something that most of us take for granted, hearing music, was about to be outlawed.
I always say music is not just a part of who I am or something that I enjoy doing. It is who I am. It's my whole life. Everything about me is built around music. Without music, I don't exist. Without music, honestly, I don't know if I would want to exist. And I should be able to take that for granted. It's so human, so beautiful, such a powerful way to express ourselves. And the fact that right now in Afghanistan that's banned is unacceptable.
Arsen had to watch the Taliban take power back home from thousands of miles away.
Leaving my family, saying goodbye to them, to my friends, was one of the hardest things that I've had to do. And actually arriving here and then days later seeing my country collapse into these hands of these inhumane terrorists who banned music, who, like, my friends had to go into hiding in fear of their own lives for being a musician, where my sister still cannot go to school and my mom can't go to work, where, like, just seeing that was so tough. And what made it so much worse was to see everything around me here in the U.S. just go on normally, despite the huge role that this country has played in Afghanistan. I'd be taking the train from home, from school to home, and, you know, it would be right after a baseball game, and everybody would be excited and having fun. And at the same exact time, my entire life, not just mine, but for millions of Afghans, was completely in chaos. And that's what made me feel the most alone. Felt like I was in a different planet, and I couldn't really express that.
The folks at Longi wanted to help Arsen feel less isolated. Before classes started, Arsen was called to the school president's meeting room, the same room he and I are talking in right now.
I got an email from the dean and the president of Longi saying, hey, how can we support you? We know this must be a challenging time. And they made the time for me to meet with them, and I proposed this idea of, like, I want to make music somehow. I can't stay silent right now, so I want to organize a concert here and just find some classmates or something and play Afghan music and try to do, like, a fundraiser for musicians that are in Afghanistan.
That conversation would lead to Arsen organizing the concert in solidarity with Afghan musicians.
Dozens of volunteers kind of joined me in making that happen. And I think that was, like, what kind of helped me feel a little bit less alone. And maybe it was a little bit selfish of me to put together a whole concert of forcing musicians to say, hey, make the statement by being a part of this concert. But it was also a way for musicians here to learn about what's going on in Afghanistan. I feel like music is taken for granted so much that when you read the headline, Taliban bans music or whatever, you don't actually process it. I feel like people hear about it or read about it, but they don't realize what that means. Like, it's actually banning music, like, music is not allowed. Until they get to, like, hear a piece of Afghan music and then hear an Afghan say, yeah, this is banned, like, actually banned. And then it's like, wow. Like, this is not allowed. So that was the other part, like, just kind of telling people about it, raising awareness, not just through words and news, but through actual music.
Being in America has impacted how Arsen sees things at home, but it has also changed how he sees the United States.
I have a very complicated relationship with Afghanistan because I feel like oftentimes when people really care about something, it's because they really love it. I don't feel like that's the case for me with Afghanistan. It's not a place that I really deeply love. It's a place that I really want to be able to really deeply love. And I want it to become that place, and I want to help make it into that place. But what I will say is that it's changed how I look at the US being here. I was critical of the US's role in Afghanistan, and I still am. But I've had to learn how to separate the US government from the people that I meet. What the US government does doesn't reflect how the average American feels. That said, though, I'd still say I wish more Americans were holding their government more accountable.
Arsen has graduated from Longi, but the concert in solidarity with Afghan musicians continues, not only to help those in Afghanistan, but to raise awareness here. The music Arsen has composed for it lets him feel closer to the home he left behind, a home that, while complicated, can also be beautiful.
The first piece that I wrote when I moved to the US was called Broken Mountains, and I wrote this piece as I was organizing this event. And I remember kind of coming to Longi for the first time to practice, sitting at the piano, starting to improvise. At that moment, somehow, like, my fingers were able to find the emotion I was after. And I think the emotion I was thinking about or feeling was just missing the mountains surrounding Kabul. There's something that I really love, just so majestic surrounding the whole city. And I was thinking about how even something as grand and majestic as mountains, at some point they must feel broken inside. Like, after how much war and violence do even mountains feel broken? So I wrote Broken Mountains, and it was premiered at the first concert in solidarity with Afghan musicians. And the piece is really special to me, to have put so much raw emotion into a piece at a time when I was feeling so much raw emotion.
Dangerous right now for Arsen to return to Afghanistan, both because of the music he's made and how outspoken he's been. Returning home would also make it hard for him to get back into the U.S., but he still has hope.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm fooling myself by clinging to hope. And this isn't just about Afghanistan or my family. Like, it's about seeing the world and everything going on. But somehow you have to. I mean, what else do? You can't really give up, and you can't really do anything if you don't have hope. So you cling to it, whether it's true or false, doesn't matter. You cling to it, you do the best you can.
And Arsen knows that when the time comes, the people of Afghanistan will once again be ready to embrace the music they've had taken from them.
There is also evidence to suggest that we should be hopeful. The Taliban were in power in the late 90s, and the day they lost power, people were celebrating by dancing and listening to music, something that was banned during their regime, something that they would have been killed for. So that's proof that music can't be silenced, music can't be taken away. People will celebrate and play music again the first chance they get. That means that it's more important than ever for me to keep making music right now, so that when I can take my music back to my country, I'm ready to play and I'm ready to have people dance.
was part of Medley of Afghan Songs, a piece arranged by Arsen Fahim for the first concert in solidarity with Afghan musicians. What you heard is from the live performance in March of 2022. Thank you so much to Arsen Fahim and the folks at Longy School of Music in Boston. I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a session with Afghan pianist and composer Arsen Fahim. That was one of those conversations where I left feeling so inspired and so moved. The strength and the hope that he has, the drive to keep going in the face of what might seem like impossible oppression. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And, you know, maybe it was something that you needed to hear today. If you'd like to see some of that interview, you can find it on social media. Look for @WorldCafe. If you missed any of it, or you'd like to share it, or you'd like to hear it again, you can go to worldcafe.org, or you can subscribe to the World Cafe podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. This is Tears for Fears, sowing the seeds of love.
says, please don't revive. I would paint all over it, but I'm afraid of heights. There's plenty of those old tapes playing around inside my head. I'm welcoming the future.
Babylon. from your cold tower into a past horizon. And there's Lady Love, my Lady Love. I built myself from a war. I built myself from a war. And is it our time this other? Or is it my chest? Why does my heart not follow her to the
a session with him on the show soon. That is Tamino with Babylon, an artist you can subscribe to next on World Cafe. Subscribe to streaming services or meal kits or podcasts or a wine club, all sorts of things. But what about subscribing to a musician? I'm Raina. This is World Cafe. It isn't easy to be an indie artist making a living on like the pennies you get from streaming services right now, trying to fund your own tours and doing your best. So your next artist came up with a really interesting idea. Orla Gartland has a demo club. Her fans subscribe to it. They pay a little bit each month. And in return, she gives them goodies like demos and extra songs on a regular basis. Helped her fund her recent sold-out North American tour. It's a really cool idea. I wonder if any other artists are going to pick up on that. Here she is. It's Orla Gartland with Little Chaos.
Great is ever. you, girl, in your little chaos.
Runner from Philly's Alex G. Next up, a band with a couple of members who met in Philly. This is Mount Joy. She Wants to Go Dancing on World Cafe.
I'm pardon, it's a death row pardon. 2 minutes too late, and isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain.
If you want it, you can have it. All you gotta do is just reach out and grab it. If you want it, you can have it. All you got to do is just reach right out and grab it.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child. Now listen to me. All you need, you already own. It was given to you on the day that you were born. Anything that your heart can dream, you can make it reality.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
child. Now listen, don't be afraid, don't be afraid to fall. Still getting back up is gonna make you stronger. God only made one like you, so come on baby and just do what you were born to do.
Step on up,
step into your power.
Step on up,
step into your power, child.
Step on up,
step into your power.
Step on up,
step into your power, child.
Ray LaMontagne, step into your power.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians East Borough and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.